our mind is elevated. And you know, when I go back to New York, Vancouver, or Los Angeles, it's not very easy to do all this there. That is called cool abhyasa. It's called cool abhyasa. Inside it is so cold that unless you get into some kind of central heated atmosphere, it's no good. We need some kind of the ashram central heating. If it is not there, it will be a cold. And as long as my inspiration or expiration or my zeal is dependent upon external circumstances, you know what it means, don't you? The zeal does not exist. Taste your tongue. Yeah. Now if you put a little bit of honey, a spoonful of honey on it, it tastes sweet, no? So if the taste of sweetness is dependent upon the honey, what does it mean? Otherwise, the tasteness of sweet is not there. The sweetness of the taste is not there. Normally, the taste is not sweet. So if I put some honey in into the mouth, there is the taste of sweetness. So if I am in a spiritual atmosphere, full of atmosphere, I feel inspired, which means that there is otherwise no inspiration at all. I am cold, refrigerated. However, Patanjali also recognizes, I think, that this kind of lukewarm abhyasa or practice is slightly better than no practice. Slightly better than no practice. And it is only from that point of view, even the routine practices, like just get up from your bed and come and sit in the meditation room at 7 o'clock. I feel dull, sleepy, all right, sleep there. Try not to snore. What are you going to do otherwise? Otherwise you are going to sleep in bed. Why not come down? Doesn't hurt. And in this way, you may be able to cut a new groove, which may again gather momentum. As the groove becomes deeper and deeper and deeper, it is possible, not always necessary, inevitable, it is possible that the abhyasa or the practice may gain momentum. Good. And the abhyasa takes the form of what has been described as samadhi. We'll come to that. Probably the whole week we'll be discussing samadhi. The whole week we may be discussing samadhi because it cannot be discussed. Vitarka vicharananda smitanugamat samprajnatah. What is abhyasa and what form does it take? What course does it follow? Vitarka, I'll give you the meaning word by word. Vitarka The majority of commentators have taken this to mean, as with, accompanied by sound reasoning or logic. Though vitarka may also mean the opposite of logic. Sound reasoning or logic. Your practice may be accompanied by sound reasoning or logic. Vichara. Vichara has been translated into inquiry, but chara is to move, brahmacharya, movement, motion. So vichara, V has got V as a prefix, has two embarrassing meanings, one diametrically opposed to the other. It can mean the opposite of or efficiently. Moving, efficient movement or the opposite of movement. The negation of movement. Anyhow, most commentators have taken that to mean proper, well-directed movement or inquiry. Vitarka vicharas ananda. Ananda is happiness, joy. Asmita is mere I amness. Vitarka vichara ananda asmita anugamat sampragnyata. Sampragnyata is is again translated as a samadhi in which there is awareness, a contemplation in which there is awareness, full awareness. Full awareness means the awareness of subject-object division. That practice where investigation or argumentation, inquiry, joy, happiness, and pure I amness still exist is called sampragnyata. A state of contemplation in which there is full awareness. Some commentators have even given, split the whole thing into quite a number of nice, neat little packages. Vitarka samadhi, vichara samadhi, sananda samadhi, sasmita samadhi. They have taken each step to mean an end in itself, which is nice, no harm. But let us look at it from a different angle. See if that makes sense. The problem is, what is this me that obstructs the free flow of energy, that obstructs the free flow of life force, and that seems to divide experiences and expressions, that seems to divide consciousness into this and that, into here and there, I and you? What is this I? What is this me? What do I do? How do I meditate? Yes, this is the big problem. How do I meditate? What do you become aware of immediately you start this meditation? Your mind is still working. That is, you are still thinking. You know what thinking means? Not a fat king. But You cannot just wave a magic wand and stop this thinking. What do I do? I find myself thinking. Not that I want to think, but I find myself thinking. The moment I think of, what else do you want me to do? The moment I think of energy, the moment I think of the movement of energy, the moment I think of pleasure, the moment I think of pain, the moment of I think of God, devil, good, evil, I'm thinking all the time. Patanjali says, start there. Don't get worked. Don't get worked up. Start there. Use it. Don't let it use you. Use it. Get hold of it and steer it. But please remember, you are practicing yoga, which means give it a direction, straight, head on. Don't let the mind go on, you know, rambling. One moment you are thinking of this, the next moment you are thinking of that. Ah, it's useless. It's useless thinking of that. Let me think of that. The mind is also capable of tricking in a very remarkable way. A reason why some, including Patanjali, insisted upon single-minded devotion to a single technique, to a single teaching. It comes later in the same Yoga Sutras. How do I overcome obstacles? Tat pratishardhartam ekatattva abhyasaha. You can overcome all obstacles if you stick to one method or one truth. Adhere to one truth, one path, one way. Ekatattva abhyasaha. It can also be interpreted to mean when you get hold of one idea, for instance. Why do I regard that as a disturbance? What is it that regards that hammering as a distraction? Why, where, and how does it become a distraction? When you start that, something says, oh no, it's not a distraction, it's all God. That is a distraction. Avoid it. For instance, I am jealous of him, Ankur. And I start, why do I be, what is the jealousy and how does it arise in me? Oh no, such inquiry is foolish. So and so, Mahatma so and so told me, such inquiry is waste of time. You must see God. You have wasted a very precious opportunity. The jealousy was there, could get hold of it, make use of it. Huh? Squeeze it and get some juice out of it. You wasted it. The mind can play that trick. It starts this inquiry based upon logic, based upon thinking, based upon reasoned thinking, well-reasoned thinking, well-directed thinking, well-directed logic. But suddenly it cuts in, say, no. Jealousy is evil. So drop it and see God in him. Gone. Your meditation is gone. And therefore this ekatattva abhyasaha can also mean, never mind whether it is called good, it is called evil. Get hold of it and squeeze it. I am afraid of him. First, there is thought, I am afraid of him. Am I afraid of him, or do I think I am afraid of him? I only think I am afraid of him. How do I know? How do I know? I only think I am afraid of him. What makes me think I am afraid of him? Because I see he is a strong man, he is a very powerful man, he is a very wealthy man, he has got gun. Now, please, if you follow this a little carefully, you might come through. He's got a gun. He's very powerful, very strong. And his wife told me that he hates me. So, I'm afraid of him. So, but for him and but for his gun, you will live forever, would you? No, but I may live for some more time. All this is happening within me. Oh, but I may live for some more time. So, living for some more time, you think, is better than dying now. Do you? Seriously? Now you are healthy, one bullet and you are finished. What do you want to wither away when you become 80? Isn't this better? For every thought, you present a counter thought. Slap it with the counter thought. Slap it with the counter thought. Then logic comes to an end, and that is called logical conclusion. Logical conclusion means the point at which logic comes to an end, says no. There is no sense in it. So fear is not logical but psychological. I see. Maybe slightly biological, but perhaps psychological. Right. There is no more logic. It is then that is possible for you to look straight through. And that is called vichara. Vichara is when this conscious energy, or energy that is consciousness, is able to move directly towards this tattva or this factor. This factor is fear. I am no longer arguing within myself. I am no longer thinking, but I am directly looking at it within myself. Now the question is, what is this fear? This is moha. What is fear? Non-verbally, without any verbal description, without any verbal description, the whole energy, the whole attention moves towards the fear within. To discover it, to see what are you, to touch it. One must be able to touch that fear, to touch it, smell it. What are you? Now here there is no argument. There is no logic. And there is no use, probably there are no words used, no expressions used. A direct looking. That is vichara, inquiry. Inquiry does not necessarily involve logic or reasoning. It may start with logic or reasoning. It must go into direct perception, direct understanding. At that end is fear, and at this end is me. Are you seeing this? At that end is fear. The same thing is called this end, at this end me. Me at this end, fear at that end. Hell, why did I call it fear in the first place? It's me. It's crazy. The fear is gone. There's a great joy. Sananda. Vitarka, vichara, ananda. There's great joy. There's no fear at all now. But there is great joy. When one discovers that what one called fear was none other than the me itself at the other end. One end was the me, and the other end was called fear. Because here you realize, if the me was not there, there is no fear either. You have still not come to the me, you are still looking at the fear. Please remember that. You are still looking at the fear. But the fear is now slowly evaporating. It seems to be afraid of me. The fear seems to be afraid of me. And it is slowly being transformed into vapor. It is being vaporized by the heat of this inquiry. And there is great joy. There is no fear now. There is ananda, great joy. The joy of discovering that the fear was non-different from me. Fear was non-different from me. The fear was non-different from me. That fear has gone. In its place, there is joy. And the joy is non-different from me. Means, I am. There you stand. There is still, strangely, there is still an intense awareness of I am, which means there is somewhere mysteriously a division. And therefore, samadhi at that stage is known as sampragnata samadhi. Sampragnata is where there is this awareness involving a certain duality. One goes on practicing this in this manner, utilizing every opportunity possible. To get back to this, it doesn't matter what it looks like, what the starting point looks like. It may be a painful experience, it may be a pleasurable experience, it may be a so-called evil emotion, it may be what is called a pious emotion. It doesn't matter at all. Good thought, bad thought, evil thought, stray thought, anything. All that one needs is this inner discipline to go head on, straight on, and not deviate. And one invariably comes to this, the core That is the I am consciousness. There is still awareness and therefore there is still division. In all this, there is a certain amount of effort. Virām pratyaya pūrvaka samskāra śeṣo anyaḥ. The same thing when it is practiced for a considerable time with great zeal, then even the practice can be dispensed with, the effort is dispensed with. There is practice without effort, effortless practice. That is, as soon as an experience arises, at the same time meditation arises also. Which means, as soon as there is fear, the inquiry into its nature also arises. The observation of its nature also arises. As soon as there is jealousy, the other thing also comes up. The observation also comes up. The inquiry also comes up. Even here, Patanjali says, there is still a trace of the old habit left, the previous predisposition left. And we will leave it at that.